goodness, what are they teaching them in those schools? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And it's good to be back. We were kind of in and out of the studio last week, so we give an apology for running all the reruns. Hopefully we ran some ones that made some sense to you and gave you something to think about a little extra if you didn't hear them the first time around. But we are back in the studio. Things got a little hectic last week for Barry and I, so we did our best to choose some programs that would continue to be fresh.
Well, Chuck, that's just the vicissitudes of being volunteer radio hosts and having to work full-time jobs. So it just takes – sometimes the hours in the day just don't add up.
Well, that's it. We have deaths in the family. We have things going on. We have like catch-up work from the 2 days we took off to go to funerals and whatnot. And, wow, it just has all piled up all at once.
It can. But – what we want to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, thank you for joining us again. If you're a regular listener and if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is kind of the madness that is Principles and Policies. But I opened today, Chuck, with a paraphrase quote from one of our favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, which I actually, the quote was, "Bless me, what do they teach them in those schools?" But I wasn't sure I wanted to use the term bless me because I'm not sure what we're about to talk about that's going to be taught in our schools is a blessing. Or if it's something much more sinister. And what we're going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is an article that appeared over the weekend, one of our favorite news sites, CNSnews.com, by reporter Melanie Hunter. And the tagline is, for DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security, cybersecurity education begins in kindergarten. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, or as she's more affectionately known by many in the conservative world, Big Sis, has decided that what we're going to do is they're going to target those whom they want to be their cybersecurity experts as early as kindergarten and start training them on cyber terrorism and cybersecurity. And it's interesting because usually this type of education, Chuck, is usually either a graduate-level programs or it's done in the workplace. But now we have, I guess this is part of the cradle-to-grave involvement of government in everybody's lives, that Big Sis here wants to reach down into our kindergartens to help mold and shape the next generation to do exactly what the government wants them to do.
Well, this is 1984 style, womb to the tomb, quote unquote, security for the state. Because as we heard at the Democratic National Convention, we are the state and the state is us. Actually a rather frightening scenario, if you will. I am not the state and the state is not me. I am a subject of the government of the United States, but I am not part of a beehive or a, if you will, some kind of a collective. I am an individual inside of the United States of America who very deeply treasures his liberty. And what we're being told here is that what Big Sis is doing, the blog title that where this story comes from is called Inspiring the Next Generation of Cyber Professionals. Well, that's generally the way this kind of thing is put. When the government wants to come in and do something, they are inspiring the next generation. Well, really, what they're inspiring the next generation to do is become a pack of snitches.
Well, you know, Chuck, I think you're right. Now, before we go any further, for those of us who may not be familiar with what we're talking about, it sounds good on the face of it, Charles. It really sounds like, wow, you know, emerging technology field, cybersecurity, everybody's got a smartphone, everybody's got a laptop, everybody's wired in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, this is a burgeoning career field, and if the government's going to come in and help little Johnny or little Janie as early as kindergarten to get into a lucrative career, why, you'd think that parents would fall over themselves trying to sign up for it, right?
It depends. It depends on how the parents think.
And indeed, that is part of it. And if you just through a cursory reading – of some of the things that DHS and Big Sis have put up on this blog, which their blog was titled Inspiring the Next Generation of Cyber Professionals. Basically, they're saying that they're extending the scope of cyber education beyond the federal workplace. Now, notice that carefully, because that's really the area where they actually can do these things is inside the federal workplace, because they're an executive federal agency. But they are going to use what's called the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education. Now, Chuck, you know me, and many of our listeners know me well enough to know that I don't like making comparisons with a certain, shall we say, a socio-political entity from the 1930s and 40s in Germany.
So you don't want to invoke Godwin's Law?
I don't want to invoke Godwin's Law whatsoever, but this thing's starting to give me the creeps. You have an organization called the Department of Homeland Security, and they're talking about the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education, which involves students from kindergarten through postgraduate school.
Okay, well, before you apologize for that, for the invocation of Godwin's Law, and for those of you who don't know what that is, the first person in an argument who mentions the name of Adolf Hitler has invoked Godwin's Law.
And loses the debate.
This is not something that was confined in the 1930s to Germany, but it was also in effect in exactly the same way in Stalin's Russia. There were different names for the GPU, the Cheka, the NKVD, and later I think that became Putin the head of? He was KGB.
KGB, yes, the Politburo and the KGB. But Chuck. Yeah. All of those pale in comparison to what Big Sis has come up with, because if you look at it carefully, the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education's acronym is NICE. It's NICE. And they're working with the Federal Department of Education, that's Arne Duncan, and the National Science Foundation. You know, those lovely, tolerant people at NSF who basically, if you utter the word design, it is tantamount to having you cut off at the knees and losing tenure and your position as a teacher or as a research scientist or as a university professor. These are the people who are going to be dealing with the NICE program. And what they're going to do is they're going to set, and of course it's high tech stuff. And even in Ohio, you know, we've done magnet schools and the STEM program, which is science, technology, and mathematics. Engineering and mathematics, and this is kind of tied into that. It's the reason why I always had a problem with the STEM program in Ohio, is that it's just tailor-made that we're going to silo kids into certain areas. We're going to give them aptitude tests, and we're going to start in kindergarten, it looks like. And if they show enough innate aptitude, we're going to silo them into this high-end, high-pressure program so that the government, because remember, these are all national programs. This is all done by the National Department of Education and the Department of Homeland Security, so that they can identify future employees to work within government. You know, they're cultivating the best and the brightest, Chuck, if you want to go there.
Barry, that's a Rousseauian, if you know anything about Rousseau, that's essentially a Rousseau, part of Rousseau's philosophy, that essentially what you do is you, at the earliest stages of development, go in and find the cream of the crop, skim them off into the service of the state.
Yes.
And it's Soviet style. And actually, again, this is pre-Nazi Germany. This is the Prussian model for education.
Well, and the Prussian model is what our modern American education framework is built around anyway. This is just formalizing things a little bit more.
Exactly. Basically, what is going on is that we are now beginning to institute the same thing that the Soviet Union's been doing for years. Now, one of the things that you can't walk down the street in Russia without meeting an engineer. Everybody in Russia is an engineer. No matter what they do, they're an engineer. And that's because people have been, even janitors are engineers.
Sanitary engineers, yes.
And that's literally true.
But literally, that's good. We're not making a joke, folks, and we're not trying to denigrate or downgrade anybody's career path. But that's the whole point: is if everybody's an engineer, Where's the uniqueness, Chuck? Where's the differentiation? Where is the individuality and the independence of being able to set your own path? It isn't there.
And the only place it exists is inside the party.
Yeah, well, then, and the only place it's going to exist, if this is done, and they hint at it, because the NICE program, the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education, has a website. And basically what they say is part of their mission is to, quote-unquote, to bolster formal cybersecurity education programs encompassing kindergarten through 12th grade, higher ed, and vocational programs, focusing on those hard sciences. For what purpose? This is what it says on the website. To provide a pipeline of skilled workers for the private sector and government. Now, they could have probably stricken the private sector out of there because it's mainly going to be government's going to get the first pick. But, Chuck, and I challenge our listeners to think about this, when did we get to a point where education became a way to pipeline people into areas that the government chose as being the areas that we want to have the best and the brightest in? What happened to the idea of teaching somebody a love of learning, allowing them to explore and find their own path, find out what areas of study and endeavor that they are drawn to and have talents in, and then giving them the tools so that they can then raise themselves up to have successful careers and, you know, maybe be entrepreneurs and things of that nature? No, we're going to pipeline people now. We're going to pipeline skilled workers. This is the assembly line socialistic view of total government control from cradle to grave.
Okay, you asked the question, when did that happen? Well, the virus was administered in the 1950s. The fever was caught in the 1960s. The serious symptoms set in the 1970s. And with the development of the Department of Education, the end stages of the disease set in. And by 1994, with the act that Bill Clinton signed, education to the workplace, and essentially that school to work. And then the final blow came with the education bill, No Child Left Behind, in 2002?
I believe it was either 2002 or 2003.
Yeah, the Ted Kennedy bill that basically the great conservative George W. Bush championed. And in fact, the reason now that you have things, I live in a place where the International Baccalaureate program is a big deal. And people don't realize that what's happening is that children's minds are being poisoned into accepting an internationalist view of government. They're being trained up so they can work in a global system.
Well, I agree. And that internationalist view, basically, for our listeners, just spell it out, just thumbnail it. Internationalist view of government means no national sovereignty, interdependence among governments, and all decisions are ultimately the choice of the United Nations.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And that's what I mean. There's nothing wrong with thinking globally. I mean, we live in a global system. You can get on a plane and be halfway around the world inside 12 hours. That's never been able to be done before. And you can pick up a phone, and you and I do this by Skype. My gosh, I can talk to China on Skype, no problems at all, and it doesn't cost anything other than the software. I've already paid for the internet.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is. It works right, as you and I have discovered recently. Sometimes it doesn't always work so well, but those imperfections are being worked out. But that being said, there's nothing wrong with thinking globally in terms of commerce. That's a good thing. But thinking in terms of internationalism in government is frightening. Why should we add another layer of government that'll take even more control? And people are actually arguing in favor of this idea that somehow we should turn over our sovereignty to the United Nations, or possibly to NATO or some other regional style government, maybe a North American Union, and that somehow their experts will be better than our experts because there will be more experts to put their heads together. Well, so far, government by expert hasn't worked very well. It used to work really well when the amateurs had control and they basically decided to stay out of everybody's lives to the largest degree possible.
Yes, but we don't have that situation anymore. Now it's the how much can the government interfere in your life to the greatest degree possible, and even to the point that Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, the director of the department, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, is now said, we are going to get your kids in kindergarten and direct them the way we want them to go. So
now, that being said, guess what, Barry?
We're out of time. So bless me, what do they teach them in those schools?
Yes. Well, we can take it a little step further, I think, with the next show. So I'd say join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.